Okay, amen. I want to say something else, too, and that is that Jamie does not beat me up. Yes, she does. No, Jamie was trained by her mother to bug, and she likes to bug. People talk about their spouse being their best friend. Jamie and I were best friends, and she likes to play and poke and whatever, and she likes to do it when I don't want to. I'm comfortable getting about to fall asleep, and I feel something lick my eye. That's Jamie. Ah, come on! What? I shouldn't remind her of this one, because she hasn't done it in a while, but do you guys know what a wet willy is? You know, you're sitting there minding your business, and come on! Ugh. Anyways. Worst apology ever. Oh no, I'm in for it now. Amen. But I have a tendency to exaggerate, and I think the exaggeration is so exaggerated that everyone knows. So when she punched me in the head at the restaurant, it wasn't really a punch. She was full, and it did make a lot of noise, but it didn't hurt. And the other patrons at the restaurant had no response. They were busy eating their food. There wasn't a unanimous gasp. None of that happened. I was exaggerating, okay? Hallelujah. Okay. However, I was not exaggerating about the hand washing. Please wash your hands after using the bathroom. Hallelujah. You know, what's funny is in Canada, when you go visit someone's home and you walk through the door, the first thing you do is you start untying your shoes to take them off. That's Canadian custom. You don't even think about it. I have never been to a home or anyone come into my home that doesn't just do that. And the opposite is when you bend down to untie your shoes and they say, oh, no, just keep them on. That's the exception. So when you come to our home here in the U.S., I always have to tell people, oh, no, you have to take off your shoes. And sometimes they look at me kind of weird, but I think they don't realize those shoes have been in a public bathroom. You cannot walk in my house with those shoes. No, sir. Take off your shoes, please. And that's not a joke. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's get to this because we don't want to miss what Pastor Jim wants to bring to us. Wasn't last night's message really sobering? If you have itching ears, this is not the church for you. This is not the conference for you. Especially if you're one who's hungry for God and you think, yeah, I'm on the right path, and you hear a message, yeah, you're not even hitting the mark. Oh, it hurts, right? But that's what we need. Amen? So open up to Matthew 6, if you're not already there. I can't remember if I said it. We're going to start in verse 24. I know Gary shared out of this last night, but we're going to do it again today. Starting in verse 24, of course, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that is something you learn pretty early on in your walk with God if you're going to go deep into him. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Just like Gary, I've tried that. It doesn't work. I want it to be at least, 6 feet, 6 feet two. Didn't happen. I also want it to be much wider than I am. That didn't happen either. Amen. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil. Not, neither do they spin. And somebody once said, how many tracts did the birds hand out before God fed them? How many people did they lead to Jesus before God fed them? Not a one. They didn't do anything for the kingdom. God fed them. Amen? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, just to draw out a few things, one is, I would read this back in the day, when money would stay away from us in great abundance, I would read this and I'd say, this is who I want to be. But I didn't know how to get there. I wanted to be the guy who was like a bird and took no thought, but unfortunately I took thought often about what we would eat. You know, where's the money going to come from? Now, you can't maybe tell from there because I'm holding in my gut, but I have a pretty good pizza muscle. God, pizza muscle. God took good care of us. You know, it didn't matter if the bank account was empty. I'll tell you, there was always food in the fridge. There was always good food on the table. We always ate. And you know what? The power never went out. The heat never went out. You know, in fact, our credit rating, in spite of all the nonsense that we went through, the struggle that we went through, our credit rating up in Canada is still perfect. I didn't share that with you guys the other day, but I'll have to tell you how God miraculously allowed it for us to buy a house here in the U.S. because we don't have a credit history in the U.S. Anyways, God's amazing. He takes care of all the little details. Maybe later this week, if I share again, I'll share that. But the amazing thing here is verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. And Gary shared this last night, drew it out. What is he talking about, the Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles were the ones who had no God. The Gentiles were the ones who did not have a covenant with God. And so they had to go and seek after all that stuff because they had nothing with God. Flip over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 11. Again, as I shared yesterday, you know, the context of this letter is Paul writing to a bunch of Gentiles who have come into the kingdom of God, and they're still not, there's a part of them that's still not really convinced as to who they are. Is this really for real? And so he writes to them in verse 11, he says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So basically, you know, the household of God prior to Christ was the nation of Israel, the chosen people. And they looked at every other nation as not being part of God's chosen people and not having a covenant with God because that was accurate. That was the truth. To whom were the prophets and the oracles given? To the household of Israel, not to all the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles, they were afar off. It says in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And here it is, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, the amazing thing is that is true of every one of us. There was a day in our lives where we had no hope and we were without God in the world. And frequently, that is, you know, the only answer that I can come up with why people sometimes do some of the desperate things that they do. We watch or we hear a news story of someone doing something so horrible, so horrifying, we think, how could they possibly do this thing? It's because they have no hope. They're so desperate, they have no God in the world. They don't have Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, here we are. We've been brought into the household of God, and we enjoy all the benefits of being his sons. Hallelujah. No God, no hope. More than that, though, frequently, and we could go back to Matthew 6, frequently throughout the scriptures, Jesus identifies God to us as Father. Not just God, but Father. And, you know, I don't know if you've had a good or a bad relationship with your earthly father, but even if you had the best father ever, you know, if in heaven there's a list of the top 10 fathers in all of human time, and your dad is number one, he's still a bag of dung in comparison to God. Okay? God is so awesome. So, you know, just meditate on what it is that he's our father. Amen? But he chose the anthropomorphism of father for a reason, that we should understand the care that he has for us. And when it says in Matthew 6 that we should be anxious for nothing and that we should take care for nothing, that is really what we need to do. And it was hard for me to get there. It really hard for me. And, you know, the amazing thing is, I would listen to Gary's testimony because I could feel I could really relate to Gary's testimony. And I share my testimony as well because hey, there should be a chorus of us talking about how God is faithful to his word, right? And I didn't know how to trust him for everything. But I've come to a place where I can trust him for even the little things that seem almost insignificant. Not too long ago, maybe a month ago now, there was something going on with the car, or so I thought. I thought I was hearing a noise. And some of you have already heard this, but I'll share it again. And so I made arrangements to bring the vehicle into the dealership to have them check it out. And I thought it might be a wheel bearing. And if the wheel bearing is in the front where the powertrain is, where the transmission sends power to the wheels, it's covered under the powertrain warranty. But the bumper-to-bumper warranty on this vehicle is over, so if it's anything else, it's not going to be covered. So I bring the vehicle in, and they say, well, we'll check it out. If it's nothing, you pay a fee for us checking it out. If it's the wheel bearing at the front here, it'll be covered under warranty, and if it's anything else, you'll have to pay for it out of pocket. Okay. So I leave the vehicle with them, I go home, and I get a phone call, and they say, well, you're right, it was a wheel bearing, but, you know, it's a wheel bearing in the back. And because it's not part of the powertrain, it's not covered, so it's going to cost such and such and such and such and such and such. It's going to be $900. I don't have $900. And we need this vehicle. We're about to take two big trips, probably a couple thousand miles in just a couple days. And I'm thinking, okay, here's the amazing thing. No negative emotion rose up in me. In fact, I was pretty much emotionless. I wasn't excited. Yay! But I wasn't upset either. Just no emotion. Oh, it was data, information coming to me. This needs to be replaced. And my mind processed the information thinking, today I don't have the money for that. So I merely responded saying, okay, I'll come get the vehicle because I don't have $900 right now. And as soon as I figure out what I'm going to do, I'll bring it back. But I can't do it right now. The guy said, oh, okay. And that was that. Conversation over. I went back to doing what I was doing because they're going to come pick me up. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes went by and the phone rang and it was them calling me back. And I thought, oh, yeah, I know what it is. They're going to say, oh, you know, I talked to the manager and we can do it for $700. Because that happens to me a lot. I don't know if it happens to you, but it's happened to me a lot where, you know, they'll talk down their price. That's not what happened. He said, oh, Mr. Legault, you know, we were reviewing the service history of the vehicle. And from brand new, and we bought it used, but from brand new, we could see that this car has been serviced at a Toyota dealership and that everything that's ever needed to be done has been done and so on and so forth. Therefore, Toyota will allow us to goodwill the repairs. 15 minutes is how long it took for the provision to come in. Hallelujah. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then I hung up and I said, that was quick, Lord. Because I was shocked. Shocked just in terms of how quickly it went. Not shocked that he did it. Does that make sense? When they gave me the news, there was no emotion. It was just, oh, I know he's going to have to provide for this. And it's a surprise to me that the back wheel bearing is broken, but not to him. Amen? God knew. Now, many of you know we're Canadians. We just moved here. And it's tax season. And we have done our due diligence to try to convey to every government body in existence of the changes going on in our lives. Can I tell you they don't make it easy? They don't. Well, you didn't tell us. Yes, I did. I can see on your website that you have my new address. Anyway, so we not only had to do U.S. taxes, but we had to do Canadian taxes. And that was the one that was kind of making me feel a little uncomfortable. The scriptures say, be anxious for nothing. I was a little anxious about that one because I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know what was going to come back. But even in that, I said, Lord, I don't know what will come back from what I submit to them. Whatever happens, I know you got that covered. Sure enough, today I got, just this morning, got a notification in my email saying that they had processed my income tax. They haven't done hers yet. And everything is as it should be. Whew, what a relief, right? God is good. God covers everything. But even if they had come back and said, you know, we owed them the moon, God owns the moon. I'm covered. One last thing. Can you guys see my shoes? They're pretty. They're brand new. I got them yesterday. They were given to me. And the people who gave them to me do not know that I asked God for new shoes. The people who gave them to me didn't know that the pair of shoes that I have been wearing are wearing out pretty quickly. They're pretty much on their last breath. And I said, well, Lord, I need shoes. And I could have bought shoes before. However, I have children. And they're expensive. I have a daughter who's now in lacrosse. You guys know what lacrosse is? It's Canada's national sport, and we know nothing about it. We've been learning a lot about it since we've moved here. But anyways, it's expensive to put kids in lacrosse. And, you know, they're in school, and they have this activity, and they have this, and they have that. And it's like, okay, so they come first. I need new shoes. And I said, Lord, I need shoes. You know, God clothes the lilies of the field, and he clothes Alain. Amen.